You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I don't know what else to say except thanks. We're going to football. What a day.
It's going to be good to see those guys back on the road this Saturday. Greeny, Graziano here. Jam-packed we are. We're live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. And we are busy today. Lots of football, lots of hoops. Let's go. It is time to get up with the Greek Freak and the biggest question in sports. What does he decide to do now? We've got it covered from every possible angle. Plus, how about them Cowboys? You will hear Jerry Jones on the huge mistake that will cost his team millions and who knows what more. Plus, happy Football Eve. We've got answers to all your questions, including, can anyone stop the Chiefs from becoming the first in 15 years to go back-to-back? All that and more as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the game of the night and the end of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks without their superstar. Giannis, he warmed up. He wanted to give it a go, ultimately couldn't. Jimmy Butler and the Heat looking to put it away. They're playing defense, and they're turning it into offense. On the other end, Tyler Hero. How good is he? This 20-year-old came off the bench to score 14 on the night. Bucks struggling without Giannis. Under 8 minutes to go. Heat up 6. Hero, great dish. Andre Iguodala, Heat up 8. Over 6 to play now. Heat up a 7-point lead. Tyler Hero taking it off the glass. Knocks down the foul shot. Heat up 10. Under 4 minutes to go. Bucks not giving up. Chris Middleton didn't shoot it well last night, but late he hit a couple of big buckets to keep his team in it. Now they're down by 5. Giannis says, come on, guys, don't give up. Down 7 again. It's Middleton. This time for 3. He would score 23. Bucks down 4. Over a minute to go. Heat by 5. Looking to put it away. Butler probing. Who's he looking for? Dragic. Long 2. Ball game. Series. Season. The Heat go on. The Bucks go home. And for Giannis, the questions begin.
I feel lost, to be honest with you. If it's up to me, I'll play with one leg. I really don't care. Hopefully we can learn from this and, get better as a team and come back. And hopefully we can build a culture in Milwaukee that for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for a championship.
Now, assuming Giannis wins his second MVP this year, and that seems like a safe bet, he is going to join an extraordinary list of players to both win MVP and have the league's best record in back-to-back seasons. Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird, LeBron James, and Steph Curry are the only other ones to ever do it. Of those, only LeBron didn't win a title either year. And so he left Cleveland right after that, after his 7th season, his age 25 season. That's exactly where Giannis is right now. And what Giannis has to be wondering is how in the world he got here. On May 18th of last year, his team was up 2-0 on the Raptors in the East Finals. They were 10-1 in the playoffs. They were outscoring opponents by 15 points a game. Since then, they are 5-9 in the playoffs, and 4 of those wins came against Orlando, which was 33-40 this year. It has come apart fast, and brilliant though he is, Giannis is part of the problem. In this series against the Heat, he shot 7 of 29 outside the restricted area. Over the last 2 years, both of them presumably ending with MVP trophies, he had the lowest percentage in the entire league on jump shots. He was 169th out of 169 who took enough shots to qualify. Simply put, he can't shoot. And in the playoffs, that has killed his team. So, what does he need? Does Giannis need a Jordan, a Pippen, a new coach, a change of scenery? All of that is to be determined, and he, more than anyone, will be the one to determine it. But one thing is for certain, for all the magnificence of his last 2 seasons, and he is brilliant, what they're doing in Milwaukee just isn't good enough to win the championship right now. Something is going to have to happen, and it's going to happen soon. That's what I think. Let me bring my crew in on that thought. Richard Jefferson, Coach Fizz, RJ, your reaction.
Everything you said is accurate. You know, I was getting a lot of heat a couple of days ago when I made that statement. He might be a Pippen. And look, ultimately, I do want to apologize to Scottie Pippen. Right? Because you shouldn't use anybody's name as an adjective. That's just my opinion. But Giannis, and it's not his fault. Like, this is the way his game is. And when you learn how great players are, you have to build teams around them. And you have to go and spend money. I guarantee you the Milwaukee Bucks were feeling very confident about themselves, not giving Malcolm Brogdon the contract that he deserved. And then they feel like they have the best record in the NBA. So they were like, hey, we didn't need to spend that money. Well, you needed a playmaker. You need more playmakers. You need elite playmakers and elite shot makers around him if you're going to win a championship.
Coach Fizz, what do you think?
you took the words right out of my mouth, Richard. You think about this. Every great power forward that has had huge success in this league usually played with a Hall of Fame talent at the point. And this is no knock against Bledsoe or George Hill. Both of them are winners in their own right. They're tough. They really have helped this team get to where they are. But they need to merge those two into one person and make that the player that's next to Giannis. They need a guy that can force people to get over pick and rolls when Giannis is setting, so now he can get some easy baskets. They need a guy that can space the floor when Giannis is attacking. And when Giannis is out, they need a guy that can use that space that Bud has created in his offense to get downhill and make plays for other people. I don't know who that player is. But I just know the type of player that they need, and if they can get that, that will complete their team and really give them the chance to be the champions that he so desperately wants to be.
Coach, I know who that player might be. It might be Chris Paul. Brian Windhorst brought it up here a half hour ago. He said you're going to hear Chris Paul to Milwaukee this year. I'll ask you pretty simply, is he that guy? Is he the player? If you put Chris Paul on this team, are they a championship team?
Well, they're closer. I think they're closer. I think Chris Paul is the ultimate competitor that really pushes a lot of the buttons. It's a matter of, does Chris Paul still have enough in his tank to get a team all the way to the end, which I think he does, but I definitely think he makes them better.
See, me too. I look at it this way, RJ. Let's not get into Jordan, Pippen, all of that stuff. He needs another player who does exactly what Chris Paul does. Chris Paul needs to be with a player like Giannis, where he, CP3, is not expected to be the best player on a team. Right. Those two together feel like a very good fit to me.
Well, Greeny, for Chris Paul, it sounds like a great idea. For Giannis, you should be a little apprehensive about taking on that type of contract for a player that is great. Hall of Famer, awesome. Chris Paul has been the most dominant point guard over the last decade. But do you really want to be attached to that contract at this age? If we were talking about Chris Paul 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I think it's a no-brainer. But you do not want to get a contract that you can't move and you have no flexibility with, because then their team could be even more stuck.
Okay, we will see.
Hey, Greeny.
Go ahead.
One other thing. Giannis still has another summer, this offseason. This offseason will give him time to make a huge decision, and they have to make a move if they want to keep him.
I agree. Again, he has 1 year left on his deal. Guys, outstanding. Thank you both. More hoops to come a little later in the hour. But next, how about them Cowboys? The NFL season begins tomorrow night. Cowboys open Sunday night against the Rams, with Dak Prescott playing under the franchise tag. Yesterday, Jerry Jones on the radio asked about the contract extensions given to Mahomes and Watson and how those impact his quarterback.
Everybody has to look at their own team, the makeup of their team, their salary cap situation. There's no doubt that what others are paid come to play. You know, I just think if you ask me, was I surprised in any way with Mahomes and Watson, I would say not surprised. And I reiterate, our thinking for now and in the future is to have Dak as our quarterback.
All right, and so my football squad is here. Desmond Rossi and Dan Graziano seated next to me. So, Dan, let's not fight about this anymore. We've been having this conversation on this show for a year about exactly who got this wrong. We can put that to the side for the moment. What I think we can all agree on is this is going to wind up costing Jerry Jones and the Cowboys a fortune. And Dak Prescott played it great. He bet on himself, and he is going to cash in a huge way.
Sure, he has to play on the franchise tag this year for $31.4 million. They franchise him again next year, it's almost almost $38 million, and then projected out if they wanted to do it the year after that, it's over $54 million. So looking ahead, he's going to get to the negotiating table next spring and say, if I do nothing, I've got $91 million in guaranteed money coming the next 2 years. That's where this conversation has to start. So obviously Jerry Jones wanted this done this summer, didn't get it done. I don't think he is surprised that the Watson and Mahomes deals got done at that level. And I think he was expecting that, which is why he did want to get it done this summer. And he knows that it's going to cost him big money and that the possibility of Dak not being there long term has been raised by the fact that the deal did not happen this summer.
And it's worth just reminding everybody, even though it seems somewhat obvious in a hard cap sport, that when you're paying any one player more money than you needed to necessarily, it costs you in other places. So, RC, where does this leave in your mind Dak Prescott and the Cowboys going into this season and long term?
I think this season it leaves the Dallas Cowboys in a good spot. They have an extremely good roster offensively, and they've rebuilt some things on the back end defensively. But going into the future, I think it puts them in a bad position. It puts Jerry Jones in a position to have to do a deal or franchise Dak Prescott at a number that he doesn't want to. I also think it makes Dak Prescott say, either you come to me where I want you to be, or I'm out of here. All the leverage has now changed and switched to the quarterback, when I believe earlier it was on the side of the Dallas Cowboys. And so Jerry Jones is right. Deshaun Watson got his deal because he deserved it. Patrick Mahomes got his deal because he deserved it. I believe Jerry Jones would have given those guys that deal. But he don't think that Dak Prescott is that player. But now he's going to have to either pay him like he is that type of player or lose him.
Yeah, you don't get paid based upon what you do. You get paid based upon what you're worth, and what you're worth is dictated by a lot of other people. Desmond, as you sit and watch this situation play out, what do you think?
I agree with RC when he said earlier in the show that he think that the Cowboys should have paid him first. They should have paid him before Patrick Mahomes got that deal and before Deshaun Watson got his deal. Now Jerry Jones is going to be up against the wall because Dak Prescott has most of the leverage. I think that Dak Prescott did a great job of betting on himself, and now he's going to come out on top financially if he stays with the Cowboys. I'm really curious to see how this plays out beyond this season, because don't forget, Jerry Jones is a very slick owner, a very smart owner. We haven't heard the end of Jerry Jones in this saga with Dak Prescott. It's not going to end simply like people think it is.
Oh, I agree with that completely, but it is so rare that you see Jerry in a situation where he has none of the leverage, or at least not obviously so. So, Dan Graziano, these things can become ugly, right? They can become personal and all that. Dak always says the right things. Is there reason to believe that this has gotten acrimonious in any way, or that it will?
No, I've been given no reason to believe that. Dak Prescott, has been through worse in his life. There's no question about it. He's motivated. He's getting $31 million this year. Last year, he made two. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be driven. And I think he knows that no matter what happens, to RC's point, Desmond's point, he's going to be fine because he's in control of this situation going forward.
Look, I'm thinking of a guy in Joe Flacco who bet on himself once upon a time, won a Super Bowl that year by playing great in the playoffs, and made himself the richest player in the National Football League. Dak is looking at that blueprint, and he could easily find himself there as well. As we continue here on Get Up, much more on Giannis's future. Jalen and Jacoby will join us, talk about whether this latest loss will force the MVP to look beyond the Bucks. Meanwhile, the defending Super Bowl champs kick off the season tomorrow night. Are you taking the Chiefs or the field? Our experts answer that question coming up next. And I hope that you will answer this one. My poll question is the final division we're doing this season, NFC West. Go to my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny. Who you got? Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals, or Rams? Let me hear from you. We're just rolling along. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Here we go. It is time where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions of Dominique Foxworth, and whether he wants to or not, he has to answer them. Here we go, Neek. First up, give me one NFC team that made the playoffs last year that you are certain will miss it this year.
certain. Wow. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I don't know how certain I am about them, but I think the injuries to the offensive line are going to be a problem. Carson Wentz is obviously a very good player, but without protection, I think his fumbling issue could become a bigger problem, and they're going to be relying on some young players to create offense for him. I know they've added defensive backs to help that defense get better, but we're not sure how all that's going to work out given the short timeline. They're one of the smartest franchises in the league, but if you don't have the players to protect Carson Wentz, I think that's going to be a problem for them going forward. So I think they may come up short, even though we're going to the expanded seven playoff team format this season.
Why do I sense that was a subtle and nuanced shot at Dan Orlovsky? Because
they all are. I mean, they're all subtle, nuanced shots to Dan Orlovsky because it's fun. He's an easy target because he looks like he knows what he's talking about. But if you just think a little harder, you can outsmart Dan Orlovsky. It's not that hard. Okay. It's like any quarterback, just give him a little disguise. You'll fluster him. He'll think it's a blitz coming from the right. Then you sack him from the left.
So we can count now 3-2-1 to his tweet response to that. All right, next, give me an AFC team that missed the postseason last year that will make it this year. Again, we're reversing. Team that missed the playoffs last year that will make it this year.
I think this is an easy one. It's the Steelers. And I know that their defense was fantastic last year, and I understand that defenses can regress and may not get as lucky when it comes to turnover, but that defense is going to be good, and the offense is going to be better. I'm not sure that Ben Roethlisberger will return to tip-top Ben Roethlisberger status, but adding him is obviously an upgrade from the quarterback situation they had last year. And again, we have to take into account how unique this season is. And I think that stable franchises with established coaches will benefit from the season, will be at an advantage coming into the season compared to other teams. And I think that's obviously one of the more stable organizations with one of the best coaches. So I think they'll find a way to get into the playoffs this year, even though they missed it last.
I totally agree. That's a team that was 8-3 last year. If they scored 11 points or more, I have to figure Roethlisberger will get them there. All right, one more, Nate. Who you got, the Chiefs or the field to win the Super Bowl?
All right, so I just had to go with logic here. You got to go with the field. I know how good the Chiefs are, but this is not basketball. This is football, where you have one game sample size in the playoffs, and there are so many good teams and great quarterbacks out there. It means that the Chiefs are going to have to go through Watson, going to have to go through Jackson. They might meet up with Dallas in the Super Bowl. They have a lot of things go right. They have to stay healthy. They lost Mahomes last year for a couple of weeks because of that knee. They just were fortunate that it happened at the time that it did. It can happen at any point in the season. And even if you look back, we kind of all feel like they should have won the Super Bowl last year. We expected them before the season to start to win the Super Bowl, and they ended up doing it. But if you look at their run to the Super Bowl, those playoff games, those were three improbable, crazy comebacks. And you have to ask them to do that time and time again. I think the field is a safe way to go. Obviously, betting on the Chiefs and Mahomes is a lot more fun, though.
I'm going to bring Dez into the conversation here, but Nick, if I were to have phrased the question this way, if I could promise you Mahomes was healthy, would you change your mind?
No, I still wouldn't change my mind. I mean, I think that the reasonable, logical thing to do, if we're betting money, an amount that we care about, the logical thing to do is to go with the fact that you have the field. So you can give me 31 teams versus one team. I like my odds better with the 31 teams.
How about you, Dez? If you had to bet that palatial estate of yours in Ann Arbor, or I don't know, you probably don't live in, I don't know where you live. It doesn't make any difference. I always associate you with Michigan. Anyway, the bottom line of it is you got the Chiefs of the field.
Yeah. I disagree with Dominique. I think the Eagles will make the playoffs. Shout out to my man, Doug Peterson.
That's not the question
Chiefs,
he asked you.
I think they've made all the right moves. I think they've made all the right moves during the offseason. They just extended their head coach, Andy Reid's contract. Super agent Lee Steinberg was quietly able to get Patrick Mahomes a king's ransom. They retained Sammy Watkins. They drafted well. They got the guy who was the most important person on LSU's national championship team, not named Joe Burrow, when they got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I think they've done all the right things to put themselves in the position for another run. So I would have to disagree. I understand the logic, 31 teams against one team. I understand that, Neek, but I got to go with the Chiefs.
I feel more confident in the Eagles pick, which I'm not that concerned about, than I do after watching Patrick Mahomes. You just showed me pictures of Patrick Mahomes, and it got me nervous about my pick. So I'm going to go ahead and bet Desmond's Super Bowl MVP trophy that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl again.
I'll say this. I mean, look, in football, you never take the team over the field, but this feels as close to it as anything you can think of in a very long time. Guys, thank you. Coming up, Life After the GOAT officially starts this weekend in New England. Is Cam Newton feeling the pressure of replacing Tom Brady? You will hear his answer to that question as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are back, and let us get up and go. The Cardinals and their brand new star receiver DeAndre Hopkins have signed a 2-year extension worth over $54 million. More than 42 of that is guaranteed. That'll keep Hopkins in Arizona through 2024. Elsewhere, terrible news. Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller injured a tendon on his ankle on the final play of practice yesterday. And a league source tells Shefty that Miller is expected to have surgery that will likely end his season. The season over for Von Miller before it even begins. Meanwhile, Naomi Osaka beat Shelby Rogers last night in straight sets at the U.S. Open. The 2018 champ will now go on to face the 28th-seeded Jennifer Brady in the semis tomorrow. And Get Up and Go is brought to you by Charmin. Visit the hashtag CharminLovesTightEnds to see how they're rolling with their favorite tight ends of the league. We all go. Why not enjoy the go with Charmin? Back to the NFL. We are just 4 days away from Cam Newton taking the reins behind center against the Miami Dolphins. It'll be the first time Newton starts a game since week two of last season. Here he was on the radio yesterday talking about the pressure of replacing Tom Brady.
No, sir. No, sir. And, you know, I think the world of Tom and just now having a not more, say, of a per se of a bird's eye view, but, you know, really knowing the people who really knew him on a day-to-day basis and how they speak so highly of him and, you know, just understanding the greatness that you hear of a person like that and for you to ratify that and hear more things, it's just great to, not number one, hear. But as far as pressure, no, sir.
You know, that's really a remarkable way to look at this. RC, Dan Graziano, and Dominique with me here. And Nika, I'll start with you. There's probably no one else in the world that could say, I don't feel any pressure replacing Tom Brady in New England, and you would even consider believing it. Do you believe it from Cam?
I kind of do. I feel like Cam has been under pressure since you can go back to his JUCO days when he was just trying to get back into a big school. Like, Cam has lived under that pressure when he carried that Auburn organization all the way to the championship. Then he's the first overall pick. And they, his entire time at Carolina, they rarely put the requisite playmakers around him. So he's been under pressure with all eyes on him at all times. So I think following a legend like Tom Brady is going to be hard for anyone. But if there's somebody who's built for it, who's lived their life under this pressure, Cam Newton's that guy.
I see it that way, too. Ryan Clark, what do you think?
I've been that way from the beginning. That's why I always said that Cam Newton was the person to replace Tom Brady. It wasn't just about the physical skill set that can actually get the most out of the weaponry they have on offense. It was the fact that Cam Newton has always been under a microscope and not the type of microscope that you normally want to be. We watched Andrew Luck and people from the outside watched Andrew Luck because they wanted him to succeed, because the best recruit or the best ranked college player since John Elway at the quarterback position, they loved him, they enjoyed him, they wanted to hear him talk. Everything he represented was the good of football. That's not how people see Cam Newton. They judge his smile, they judge the way he wears his towel on the sideline, they even judge the way he dances, and he gets letters that people want their daughters to watch cheerleaders rather than Cam Newton. This is the type of little petty things that this man has had to deal with since he began playing football at Florida to blend to Auburn to Carolina. So replacing Tom Brady is probably a huge shadow for anyone. But for a guy like Tom Brady, I mean, for a guy like Cameron Newton, who has dealt with the things that he has already in his career, this is nothing. It's more about Cam Newton showing people he can still play this game for his career, not in a way it'll be compared to what Tom Brady did the two decades before him in New England.
I agree with every word of that. I think I see it exactly the same way. So, Dan Graziano, we have heard effusive praise from both sides between Cam and Belichick, a match that we thought might be a questionable one. You hear Cam Newton saying it's a match made in heaven. You hear Bill Belichick spend over 2 minutes on the radio the other day raving about Cam's competitiveness. What do you think of when you hear all of these positive things coming out of Foxborough?
Well, I think it sounds fantastic. I think we're 4 days away from all finding out together what it really looks like. Not that it'll be a finished product, but we'll have some sense of how it might work on Sunday. And I can't wait to watch it. I'm going to be covering that game, which this year means I'll probably be sitting in the stands. I don't know if I'll have popcorn, but I'll be sitting back and watching to see how Cam Newton looks in a Patriots uniform. Because, Greeny, it's a clean sweep on this set today. We're all Cam Newton fans. We're all people that seem to feel that he's been underappreciated throughout his career. Greatness can look different depending on the person you're talking about, and people do it differently. No one's going to attain Tom Brady's level of greatness in terms of winning Super Bowls, but Cam Newton has attained his own level of greatness throughout his career, and I'm sure he looks at it as, you know, I'm going to bring it to New England, much the same way that I knew when I had a chance to talk that I wasn't feeling pressure to be as good as Dominique Foxworth or Ryan Clark, but I knew I could handle it and bring my own thing to the conversation. So I feel similar in that respect.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so then let's segue it then, though, to the on-the-field stuff, because Graziano, he's covering the game. None of us knows what to expect, and I think that's a huge advantage for Belichick and for Josh McDaniels and for Cam. So, RC, if you're game planning for the Miami defense this weekend, what are you expecting that New England offense to look like, and what is the number one priority you have as a defense to take away?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
My number one priority is to take away Cam Newton. But to take away Cam Newton, you have to understand
what he can bring to the game. This running game, which was already the focal point of this offense last year, now becomes even bigger. And if you look back to what the New England Patriots have liked to do with their running backs, it's get the ball out of their hand quickly. Now, go back to 2018, before Cam Newton was hurt, when he was playing extremely well. That's what Coach North Turner, the offense coordinator at Carolina at the time, had him doing, getting the ball out of his hand quickly, using the run game to get to the pass game. And I think we will see very similar things to that in New England, but it's going to be about tackling Cam Newton, pressuring Cam Newton, and finding ways to disguise your defense so when Josh McDaniels tries to give Cam these run-pass options that puts pressure on your defenses, you can have pressure in his face and make him get the ball out of his hands before he can make his reads. Cam Newton is going to be the focal point of this offense to me from the day this season starts until it ends. And if you're going to beat the New England Patriots, it's going to be about confusing, pressuring, and making Cam Newton not be as effective as we've seen him in the past in Carolina.
Nick, very simply, how good are they going to be? A lot of people write them off when Brady leaves, and we thought they weren't that talented last year anyway, and some people think the Bills are a lot better. How good are the Patriots? Do they win the division?
I think the Bills certainly are more talented, and I've been on the Bills for a while, especially after they had all the COVID opt-outs for the Patriots on their defense. That's really going to hurt them. But I'm just having a hard time, especially the way that Bill Belichick is talking about Cam Newton, a way that he doesn't talk about anybody. Granted, everyone says Bill Belichick treats everyone the same. All of a sudden, he's praising the hell out of one particular player. It seems like he doesn't treat everybody the same. So I'm back on this Patriots bandwagon. I have a hard time picking a Josh Allen-led team over a Cam Newton-led team. We'll see how it all pans out, but I have more faith in the Patriots organization than I do in the Bills at this moment. And that changed just a couple of days ago, so it may change back before the season starts.
Okay, we will leave it there for the moment. We will take a short timeout, and we have much more to come. We will get into the very latest on Giannis Antetokounmpo after the Bucks go out last night unceremoniously. What does his future look like? Jalen and Jacoby have thoughts on that and more as we continue in a moment. This is Get Up on ESPN.
The Milwaukee Bucks lose. The best team in the NBA is gone. The best record again in the NBA. The best defense, best offense.
And just were never right in the restart.
Kind of feel lost. Nobody's going to be happy.
I'm proud of the guys. They left everything they had. They played together and couldn't get it done tonight.
Hopefully you can build a culture in Milwaukee for many years that we can come out here and compete every single year for the championship.
For the second consecutive season, a disappointing end of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo talking about his team in long-range terms. Let's get into it with Jalen and Jacoby. You see them weekdays, 2 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN. But first, you see them right now. David is in studio. Jalen is jealous. But Jalen, let's get right into it here. What do you see? Give me a little Rostradamus. What do you see as the future for Giannis Antetokounmpo over the next 2 years?
I see him signing a short-term deal if he signs anything and plays in Milwaukee at least the next 3 seasons. You don't want to sign a long-term deal for a couple of reasons. Number one, just business-wise, it's not fiscally responsible. Right now, if he signed a Supermax on paper, it was said to be 5 years, $250. But that number has changed to around 5 years, $220 million. So just signing this summer or next summer could cost him $30 million, which doesn't make sense. And also short term, like LeBron did in Cleveland, you want to keep the organization building around you. Sign a 1-1, see if they're going to go out and spend some money in free agency, do what they got to do to build a championship contender around you.
But you're staying in Milwaukee. Just to be clear, you believe Giannis, at least beyond next summer, stays in Milwaukee.
Yes, I absolutely do. Greeny, when I see a guy on a bum ankle playing in the playoffs, trying to lead his team that's won back-to-back MVPs, and he's standing on it giving his teammates a high five when they've trailed 3-0 knowing they're going to lose the series, when he's out there rebounding for them, that's an anchor for culture. And when I saw that, it lets me know that he plans on being there and trying to bring a championship to that city.
Jacoby, agree or disagree?
I love to disagree with Jalen, but he does make some good points. But things I want to point out are this is,
right now, right in front of him, they're going to give him an offer this summer. And I believe there's absolutely no chance he signs that, because that same offer will be available to him the next offseason. Mm-hmm. So you have this season to have all the leverage. And this is the same franchise that didn't sign Malcolm Brogdon and signed Eric Bledsoe. We saw how that played out. And you have to have some questions about Coach Bud. Very gimmicky defense, very great, great regular season coach. However, they've exited, Coach Bud's teams have exited early in the playoffs as number ones three times now. So if you're Giannis, do you want Chris Paul? They'll go out and try to get him. Do you want to get rid of Coach Bud? They'll go out and go do that. You have a year to do whatever you want. And you can say to them right now, if you don't sign this, you say, I want Thanasis Antetokounmpo on the team. I want Kostas Antetokounmpo on the team. I want Alexis Antetokounmpo on the team. You can have all the Antetokounmpos you want. And then next summer, if it doesn't work out, like Jalen said, you signed a three-year deal with a player option for the third year. That will get you to 10 years of service. That will also get you to 35% of the cap for your next deal. I know we're getting too far down the road, getting a little nerdy, but that's what he should do.
Okay, I get that part of it, but let's go back. Wendy brought up Chris Paul on the show earlier, Jalen. I will just ask you the question as simply as I can. If you put Chris Paul on this Bucks team, as they are generally constituted, is that enough to win a championship?
I think that gets them closer to the Miami Heat, not necessarily getting up 3-0, but I think it becomes a dogfight in a seven-game series. Players like Chris Paul, Marcus Smart, and Jimmy Butler are absolutely some of my favorites because they do all of the intangibles that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet and give you a level of toughness and leadership that you just can't measure. So adding Chris Paul would have done something dramatically to improve the Bucks. It doesn't necessarily mean they would have beaten the Heat or won the East, but it would have been a definite step in the right direction.
Well, we bring that up because OKC decides mutually with Billy Donovan that he's not going to come back, and everyone is basically assuming it means they're going to go into something of a full rebuild, and why would Chris Paul want any part of that? So he will likely be somewhere next year. Do you think that somewhere is Milwaukee?
The tricky part is if I'm Sam Presti and I hear all these rumors about Milwaukee wants Chris Paul and I'm looking at Milwaukee's roster, I'm looking at the contracts, I'm looking at the large number that Chris Paul offers and what they can give me back. What are you going to give me back for Chris Paul? Do I want Middleton and Bledsoe for Chris Paul? No, not a chance. And Milwaukee also doesn't have draft assets, which is what you want to trade, especially if you're rebuilding. I don't see that deal getting done because of those reasons.
All right, and then one more thing for you, Jalen. I made a lot of people mad at me with what I said about Giannis this morning, but, I mean, it just needed to be said. He bears some responsibility for this. Now, I love him, and he's an unbelievable player, and I agree with everything you said. He wanted to go out there on a bad ankle for his team last night. There are zero questions about that. But his game has a major flaw in it. Out of 169 qualified players in the league over the last two seasons, he is 169th in jump shooting. Last, dead last, he was 7 of 29 outside the paint in this series. He can't shoot. And that essentially is a problem. And in the playoffs, it has become a bigger problem. So I'm not. This is not a criticism as much as it is just pointing out that unlike a lot of other the top-level players in the NBA, there's a flaw in his game that does create a problem.
It does create a problem, but I want to give it a little more context for you. It can be deflating to a basketball team when your best player steps up to the free throw line and shoots air balls, or when they're initiating the offense and they're the MVP of the league and they're shooting air balls from three. That shot in particular does the opposite of what a dunk does as it relates to charging up the team and getting them to rally around you. But it's a team game, Greeny. He's a seven-footer, and he does everything else phenomenally. He's going to be efficient. He's he's the defensive player of the year. He's going to be amongst the league leaders in rebounding. It's just, to me, moving him around. As much as I like seeing them play five people around the three-point line and Giannis getting downhill to drive and or kick, I like to see them do things like the Miami Heat do. Miami Heat, now just think about it when you say he can't shoot. Their two best players aren't shooters. Jimmy Butler and Bam aren't shooters, but they run dribble handoffs. They run misdirections. They do different things to get them the ball in positions where they can be one or two dribbles away from the attack zone. That's what I think they should do with Giannis, along with getting him some more help to go along with Middleton, who played terrific in these playoffs.
Everything you said is exactly right. But, David, no one ever says Jimmy Butler is the best player in basketball. No one ever says Bam Adebayo is the best player in basketball. People say that about Giannis all of the time.
But it doesn't mean you can't win a championship.
But what
those guys.
Jalen, I get it, but I guess what I'm saying is they need another A-level player with him. He needs another A-level player, Jalen Rose, to win a championship. Yes or no? Whether that player is Chris Paul or not, he's not going to be the best. He's not going to be the only great player on a championship team.
Correct. No doubt about it. But you ready for this? No one is. No one is the only great player on the championship team except Dirk Nowitzki, who it seems like he's following in his footsteps in a lot of ways if he decides to stay in Miami. But I'll give you two players that probably won't even be available that will be awesome to go with Giannis that currently play in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
If you can add a Victor Oladipo or a Bradley Beal, and then you're talking about bringing in a Chris Paul or something, now that changes the game. That now puts you as a contender. And Giannis could still not be a great three-point shooter. They would still get a lot closer to their goal.
They're super quick. Can they do that? I mean,
did he just say, if you add Chris Paul and Victor Oladipo or Bradley Beal, then they can win a championship? Great analysis, Jalen. Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
He's the GM. You got to do some things. I mean, yeah, when the Lakers wanted to get a championship, they went out and got Anthony Davis. When the Clippers wanted to get a championship, they went out and got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. When the Splash Brothers wanted to get another championship, they went out and got KD. Okay, that's kind of what's happening in today's game.
We'll see if they can do it. Again, Jalen and Jacoby, today and every day, 2 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN. We'll see you guys then. Thank you very much. Meanwhile, we are one day away from the kickoff of the NFL season, and our final division preview takes us out west. The NFC West has produced the conference champ each of the last 2 years. That doesn't include Seattle, which has made the playoffs in 7 of 8 seasons, or Arizona, which many view as an up-and-coming team with Kyler Murray. So this is the best division in the sport. As of right now, our friends at Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill see San Francisco as the favorite, but not overwhelmingly. You see what they think. Here's what I think. The Rams are 19 months removed from playing in the Super Bowl, and their defense was better last year than it was that year. The trouble was asking Jared Goff to throw as many passes, 626, as any quarterback in football. That's not the recipe, no matter how much they're paying him. This team is good, but the division is great. For example, the Cardinals are better now, and Kyler Murray is a legit MVP contender. The most accurate deep ball thrower in the sport last year now has the best receiver in football on his team, and the defense literally can't get worse. They were last in the league. This team will be fun to watch and will play meaningful games in December. So will San Francisco, of course, 10 minutes away from a title last year and still stacked on D. The question is Jimmy G, who's 23-6 as a starter, including playoffs. That's the best win percentage of any active quarterback. And still the questions persist.
Those plays will haunt him until he gets the opportunity to get back there again.
And he didn't show up when it's the most pivotal time.
If he answers them once and for all, this is a championship contender. And so are the Seahawks. There are no questions about their quarterback.
I think he can win every game he plays in.
He has thrown 15 more touchdowns than anybody else over the last 3 seasons. And the defense added Jamal Adams, who will hit anything that moves and is the sort of natural leader that makes everyone better. This team was a yard away from the 1 seed last season. This year they make it. Give me Seattle to win the NFC West. That's what I think. Let me see what my squad thinks here. I will take them in the order in which they appear on my... Oh, there we go, on the screen. Desmond Howard, who you got winning the NFC West?
I'm going with the Seahawks. I think it's a toss-up between the Seahawks and 49ers, but I give the Seahawks an edge because I love Russell Wilson, what he brings to the table. I'm not sure about Garoppolo in big games, especially in the postseason. And then defensively, man, they're going to have to replace the production they got from Jadeveon Clowney a year ago. But I love the fact that they went out and got the safety. I'm going with the Seahawks. They will miss, though, that home crowd, the 12th man. But I still got to go with Pete Carroll and the Seahawks.
Okay. That was interesting. You gave me a million reasons they won't win. But you stayed with them, and you stayed with my team. So I love it. Graziano, you're next. Who you got in the West?
I am also on the Seahawks. I agree. They have the best quarterback in the division. I feel like it's going to be a tight, close division. It wouldn't surprise me if any of the 4 teams won. And because the Seahawks are always in some kind of a dogfight, it feels like every Seahawks game comes down to the last 30 seconds, and they have so much success. The games against the 49ers last year couldn't have been any closer. And you mentioned if they gotten one more yard there at the end, they're the 1 seed, and maybe the entire story of the postseason is different. So give me the Seahawks in a division that I think should be very competitive.
Russell Wilson right now looking good. Let's see if it continues. Ryan Clark, who you got in the West?
Listen, I got the San Francisco 49ers, and you guys have to stop disrespecting them because you don't like their quarterback. The San Francisco 49ers are stacked. They're an offense that gets downhill, and they added Trent Williams, who is one of the top three athletes I've ever played with in my entire career. And defensively, they have a Defensive Player of the Year candidate in Defensive End Bosa. And on the back end, they're extremely solid with linebackers that are sideline to sideline. And Kyle Shanahan is the coach, y'all. This team is stacked. This team returns a lot of players from last year. You add Brandon Ayuk, who I think could be one of the top rookie wide receivers. And we're talking about more explosion, great defense, and great coaching. Stop disrespecting the San Francisco 49ers. I made that mistake last year. I won't do it this year.
All right, Nick, who you got?
Yeah, I'm with RC. I'm on the Niners. I think losing Emmanuel Sanders hurts, but they bring in Ayuk to replace him. I think that's going to help. And they bring in Kinlaw, I think, to replace Buckner on that defensive line. We know this team is built around that defense and that running game that seems Kyle Shanahan can always make work. So I like that team. And the reason why the Seahawks are always in close games, because they want to be, because they refuse to let Russell Wilson cook until the fourth quarter. So I think some of those close games, they're going to lose like they always do. And I think the 49ers are going to blow some teams out and win this division again.
Not mentioned in that entire conversation, Desmond Howard, was Kyler Murray, who you covered on his way to a Heisman Trophy a couple of years ago, and then last year was spectacular in his first season in the NFL, and now adds arguably the best receiver in the entire sport. Desmond, what do you expect from Kyler Murray in Arizona this year?
I expect him to have a really good season. I like Kyler Murray. I like what he was able to do later in the season when the coaches figured out how to use his talents. They really started to mold the offense to what he does extremely well. I'm not sure I'm buying what the coach brings to the table yet. First year kind of struggle. We'll see how he bounces back in year two, but I do like the Cardinals.
Okay, we shall see. Again, not mentioned in there. Or the Rams, who, of course, were only in the Super Bowl 19 months ago. Let's see what you think. As I have had this question up on my Twitter page this week, and right now the 49ers leading the way on Twitter at ESPN Greeny, almost 50% of the vote. The Seahawks are next. Not a lot of love for Arizona or L.A. That poll will stay open through my radio show this afternoon, so cast your vote on Twitter at ESPN Greeny. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up, Stephen A. and Max, on what changes the Bucks have to make to keep Giannis committed to Milwaukee. It's First Take. It's 5 minutes away on ESPN. Our coverage of the U.S. Open continues today on ESPN, starting with Serena trying to reach the semis for the 14th time in her career. You'll see her at noon Eastern, and then primetime coverage of the quarters continues on ESPN2, 7 Eastern. And don't forget, you can see every point of the U.S. Open on the ESPN app. That's all the time we have for Get Up. I'll see you coast to coast on ESPN Radio, noon Eastern. And First Take starts now.